The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin. To my left, to your right, Kelly Bidlin. Good morning to you, sir.
What's up?
It's not a good morning. Not a good morning. We'll get to that momentarily on the show today. Crack, Zach and Crack. The crack part, as you know, is Bill Krakenberger. Unscripted hour number two. Whatever's on Bill's mind, we just riff.
And if you happen to be at Circa early, I hear he's doing an autograph session for the next hour right in the sports book.
Bill Krakenberger is chilling in the sports book right now, and we're not sure why.
I thought I was dreaming when I first walked in. I'm like, why is Bill Krakenberger here?
He's raring to go. That's why he's here. Joe Pita will join us to, of all things, talk about the Eagles-Skins rivalry. Joe and I are friends. We'll test our friendship is what's going to happen during that segment. Joe's here for all kinds of things, baseball analytics, golf analytics. Today, it's just Philly, Washington stuff when Joe joins us on the run-up to the NFC Championship game. NFL look-ahead lines. We talked about this yesterday briefly that we were going to discuss today. What we will look at is the look-ahead lines for the potential Super Bowl matchups vis-a-vis exacta prices. How about that? So we'll look at the look-ahead lines, and then we'll also discuss exacta prices.
Yeah. And a great pricing note from our own John Brown, who works here at the network. That's what I want to talk about,
yes,
too, with the exactas, because he pointed out something to me great the other day I want to bring up. It's just a whole shop-within-your-own-shop thing that we bring up so often.
Shop-within-your-shop, because there are going to be other ways to bet it that might be more more profitable, also, you know, have more bang for your buck. Also, we'll just look at those exactas and tell you mathematically based on, because exactas are essentially a three-team parlay at this point, right? Who wins the NFC Championship, who wins the AFC Championship, and then who you have beating whom, in the Super Bowl itself. Which of those prices are actually favorable to the bettor right now, which are not, based on the old parlay calculator at this point. And NFL, we'll talk, Zach Cohen, obviously, the first part of the Zach and Crack team. Zach, our VSiN senior editor, talking not only NFL with us, but also NBA and Australian Open, see if he has any bets moving forward. I will tell you who doesn't have any bets moving forward. That's me. We out. And I'm not just talking about because we're out on EGA, but I'm just saying I think everything moving, at least tonight, right, the men's semifinals and I believe the women's final are all priced correctly, which I differ a little bit with Drew on, because Drew really likes Zverev tonight. And he came on the show earlier this week and already said he has a bet on Zverev as the dog here. He thinks Zverev should be the favorite against Novak Djokovic. I do not believe that. I believe it is properly priced.
Has that number come down a bit, though? It is Djokovic minus 165, Zverev plus 135.
No, if anything, it's ticked up a little bit. It was like in the minus 150s when I saw
it. Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's right around where it was.
But
it's
not far off from where we checked the other day. But.
So I have none moving forward, but it was all bad last night. And let me just say, the way that the time zones work, I didn't see any of the match that we lost on, which was the Badosa Sabalenka match, which was in the dead of night here.
Yeah, that's like midnight our time, right?
Yeah, well, 12:30 even. Like, it's not even, you couldn't even try to stay up for it with our hours. But in any case, I don't know if it's the big sister, little sister thing. I talked about this briefly. I briefly mentioned yesterday that they're best of friends, but Badosa just caves when she plays Sabalenka. And so we don't get Badosa home. We don't even get the over home as Sabalenka takes her out in straight sets. So Sabalenka advances to the Australian Open final, trying to win her third consecutive Australian Open, is Aryna Sabalenka. And then the thing that happened here just, I don't want to say just before the show, but at least closer to showtime, which I only caught the very end of, Iga Swiatek loses to Madison Keys in a third set tiebreaker. In a slam, the third set tiebreaker goes to 10. And Keys beat her. Iga won the first set 7-5. Now, this is all me looking at the box score now for the first 90% of this. The second set, Iga didn't hold her serve once. That is less than ideal. Less than ideal. Suboptimal, as we like to say. And then in the third and final set, which was, by all accounts, a masterpiece.
It was awesome. I watched most of that. Yeah. It was great.
Iga had a match point at 6-5, 40-30. And got a little nervy. They were trading nerviness back and forth. This part I did see. And then it got to the tiebreaker. Iga had multiple mini breaks up in the tiebreaker, and then Keys got her at the end.
It was one of those sporting events. Like, I'm watching, and yes, I only picked it up like a couple games into that, into the third set, but like, it was an amazing third set. At no point was I really worried about Iga losing, though, until, okay, it's like you go to a tiebreaker. Like, okay, I've got to be a little bit more worried now, but I'm still not all that worried watching the tiebreaker. And then right when it gets to match point, I was like, okay, now I'm a little worried.
Congratulations if you had Maddie Keys in that. Congratulations if you had any Maddie Keys futures to begin with. Here's how I addressed it with Drew Dinsick on the Beating the Book Australian Open podcast.
Maddie Keys, I think, is a toss, but she's got that weird thing where in slams her numbers just look better for some reason. Like when the matches matter the most, she's a little bit better compared to just tour stuff. There's a couple of players who are like that, women's and men's, and she's sort of the quintessential example I would point to and be like, doubter in Adelaide, better in Melbourne, kind of a deal. But yeah, I don't think she's swung seven matches here.
Well, she swung six out of seven.
Mm-hmm.
She swung six out of seven. By the way, I started that. It was sort of a Columbo thing because we were going through players. And I was like, what do you think about? Well, I was like, oh, random. What about Maddie Keys? Right. And then that was the response to that. Thanks for cutting that part off, guys, by the way. Appreciate that. But that was the sort of impetus for that, where it's sort of like she is not. It wasn't like a Marketa Vondrousova Wimbledon thing, where we didn't mention her at all, right? Mm-hmm. Marketa Vondrousova winning Wimbledon last year was like, what was that? So we were aware. Did either of us bet on Maddie Keys in any way? No, we did not. So there you go. So it's Maddie Keys. Sabalenka is a -400 favorite. That is accurately priced to me. By the way, so is Iga at -667 when you're looking at actual numbers. But Maddie Keys does this thing where she has now reached her second slam final in her career. She reached a final back in, I believe it was 2017 in the U.S. Open when she lost to her friend, Sloane Stephens. So down goes Iga.
Yeah, sorry, man. That was tough. That was a great match. Keys looked like she was playing one of the matches of her life.
She always has it in her. Her A game is always there.
She's taking money right now, too. Wait, what did I text you? The opener on that was Sabalenka -400, Keys +300. That is down to Sabalenka -330. Keys +250 for the final.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a huge move, but yeah, I would imagine that would happen. So there you go. Congratulations to all who had Maddie Keys. Iga goes down. Brutal. Okay, real quick, because we talked about this yesterday. Number one draft pick. We were here and we were saying Cam Ward is your favorite at -190, followed by Shedeur Sanders to go number one. Remember, the Tennessee Titans holding the number one pick in the NFL draft. And then, you know, far away was Travis Hunter in the number three hole. And Mel Kiper, that was all, you know, sort of Mel Kiper induced. He had his mock draft where he had Cam Ward going number one to Tennessee, had Travis Hunter going number two to the Cleveland Browns, and then he had Shedeur Sanders going number three to the New York Giants. And so Cam Ward, the move on Cam Ward followed. Cam Ward got to -190. Now, yesterday, Titans GM, so this, of course, it happens right after the show, Titans GM comes out, and he was asked about, you know, hey, what are you doing with the first pick in the draft? Sort of.
We heard from two different guys, by the way. President of football operations and then also the GM yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you what the GM's quote was. Quote, we won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the NFL draft. Unquote. That is complete code for Travis Hunter. Generational talent. Because I don't think you're talking about Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. At least I don't think so. Travis Hunter, of course, playing both sides of the ball. That is code for Travis Hunter. And so, because of that quote largely, massive movement, where now Cam Ward is down to +105. Still the favor, still the short shot anyway. But remember, he was -190 yesterday. It doesn't take huge amounts to move this, as opposed to, say, an NFC championship game this weekend or an AFC championship. But nonetheless, Cam Ward at +105. Travis Hunter now in the two hole at +155 after that comment. Shedeur at +360. Number three, four and five remain the same. Abdul Carter and Teteroa McMillan from yesterday.
So trying to confirm a couple of these things. Okay, I believe it was the Chad Brinker, the president of football operations, that said that quote. The GM said
that's
later.
That's incorrect. I have Morganzi right here in front of me. We won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the NFL.
Okay, okay. So then he also said they're open to trading back as well. So that was also notable. I mean, that is notable. If you're considering any of these quarterbacks, you really think one of them is going to go number one, got to take that into account. I guess the only other thing that I noticed with the odds, Gil, and okay, the generational talent thing, right? I think, like you said, I think we all think Travis Hunter right away. There's another guy on that board that did get down into single digits in Abdul Carter. And I don't know, are you possibly talking about a pass rusher that you think could be all that good with a generational talent?
But is somebody trading up to number one for Abdul Carter?
I don't know. I don't know. But I'm just saying those odds moved as well.
Yeah. The big one being Travis Hunter, though, based on that, on those comments from the Titans brass. The trade possibility is always there. By the way, when you get into trades, this is the problem with all this. Mock drafts, any mock draft that puts in trades, I just immediately stop paying attention. Because like that is how do you know? And if there is going to be a trade at number one, then all of our speculation is just on steroids at that point. Because you have no idea what a team is thinking. But if Tennessee were to hold it now, that's where the sort of vague part comes in now after that kind of banter from the front office, which is like, oh, you're not going to pass on a generational talent? Does that mean you're keeping Will Levis and Mason Rudolph as your guys heading into next year? Is that what we're doing?
I mean, at least Levis, they said they were open to, they were going to look around, quarterback needed to be addressed, but Levis could be back and competing for a job.
Haven't we seen enough?
I would think so, but
haven't we seen enough of ill-advised Billy Levis? Anyway, Cam Ward plus 105, Travis Hunter now number two at plus 155. Zach Cohen, tennis, NBA, football, next, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouth-watering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SewellsBBQSauce.com. Flavor this good is just a click away. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. John Balduzzi, growing tennis fan here mainly because of you. One observation. Ever notice the moment a match turns into trouble, Iga shuts down? It's almost mental. When it went 8-8 in tiebreaker, she had no chance. John, I am with you on the overall sentiment that whatever's going on between, we said this in the Australian Open podcast too, her whatever's going on with her is between the ears, for sure. But this was different. This was a new coach, and so she was playing out of her mind up until this match. So you're right. When it got nervy, they both got nervy, but he got just that much more nervy. So I'm with you on the overall sentiment there, that there is absolutely a thing happening. Ice Cold Gambler, can't wait to hear what Crackman has to talk about today on A Numbers Game with Gil. Never miss a Thursday because you never know what they will talk about. Kelly, I can't watch golf anymore without Country Club and running through my brain.
Good. Good, it's working.
Phil, PMT 703. Gil, I've listened in Northern Virginia for 30 plus years, or I've lived in Northern Virginia for 30 plus years. I was going to say, have we been on for that long? And it's still hard to imagine Daniel Snyder isn't anywhere near this team. I'm so happy for all my friends that are still fans and stuck it out. If nothing else, I'm rooting for WFT, woofed, because the fans deserve the ultimate palate cleanser. Remember the old woofed? I kind of miss Washington football team.
Oh, me too.
Let's see. Nemesis Enforcer, they closed the roof in the second set, threw Iga off her game. Keys played well. Well, that's not an excuse, but I hear you. Ice Cold Gambler also adds, at Circa early, crack, there must be a slot machine that's ready to pay out, trying to get an early jackpot. No, he was just doing, paperwork, he said, or something.
Yeah.
We didn't
just hanging by the book.
We didn't see any papers.
We didn't see any papers, but we also didn't see him at a slot machine.
We did not.
Defense. Yeah.
Somewhere in between. Chris Hauser, who you got on this prop I just made up? Will the Super Bowl matchup be a rematch from a prior year, Eagles versus Chiefs or Redskins versus Bills? He says, yes, minus 130, no, plus 110. Well, we'd have to run the numbers on that, but we will get to exactas and hypothetical lines here momentarily. We actually will look at the math. Oh, and then Gabe Owners puts out, he says, NFL awards finalists have been solidified. Have you seen this morning? We got to go through these.
I have, yes.
Final thoughts, any further insight you've seen? Just give us the comeback player of the year ones, if you would, Kelly. Or, you know,
yeah, I got them. I've got them all in front of me. I honestly, I think so. Five finalists for every award. Off my initial scan, I'm not really sure any of them. You'd be like, oh wow, like someone got left out or anything. But comeback, Joe Burrow, number one.
No particular order.
Listed number one.
Yeah.
In no particular order, Gil. But
is it alphabetical, perhaps, Kelly? Or no?
I think it is.
Once again, we've cracked the code.
It definitely is now that I'm looking at the other awards. Okay. Joe Burrow, Sam Darnold, J.K. Dobbins, Christian Gonzalez, and DeMar Hamlin.
Give me that second one again. Who was the second name?
Sam Darnold.
That's what I thought you said.
Or JVT? Samuel Richard Darnold or whatever his full name was.
Uh-huh. Okay. So no real surprise because we knew the Darnold thing was coming down the pipeline, right?
Yeah, and I mean, look, I guess Hamlin too, right? But Dobbins, I think we expected all of those four. You're holding a Christian Gonzalez ticket, I guess you made it in.
Does Hamlin being in there give you a little bit of a feel? Are you like, wait a minute?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is I'm going to be furious no matter the result.
Do we have any sense of whether these finalists are supposedly based on the voting?
It should be the five.
Okay, so that means he got some votes, is what we're doing. Okay, well, I think that might surprise even some people that he actually got some votes.
I mean, I guess I don't know that for sure, but I would think that's how finalists work.
This is why I ask. I bring it up because I would think that's how it works. Or does the NFL take poetic license and be like, oh, let's just throw in DeMar Hamlin
names.
Just to make, by the way, these will all get announced not next week. They should do this next week, but they don't do it next week. They do it the week of the Super Bowl. That's when these will be announced. Zach Cohen joins us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's our VSiN senior editor. You can find all his stuff at VSiN.com, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You are just as likely to see him writing about the NFL, the NBA, the Australian Open. Let's just start there. Were you on Matty Keys? I'm guessing not.
I wasn't. I had the Eagle futures like you, so I just didn't touch that match. It was a really fun one to watch, though. I think that, you know, one of the tweets that you got, you know, hit it on the head a little bit. The closed roof definitely helps Keys quite a bit. It becomes a little bit of a slugger's paradise. And, you know, I think that Eagle has just had trouble with really quick conditions in the past. This tournament has played very slow up to this point, so kind of bad timing with the roof closing. Obviously, she had chances to win that match. You know, if her mental was a little stronger, she probably would have come through, but man, Keys was so good in the big moments, and especially in those two games where she went down love 40. And I would really like to see her beat Sabalenka. I'll definitely grab you a piece of her against Sabalenka just because of the amount of lost on her on the futures in the past. I'm not going to lose, not win anything if she wins a slam.
Yeah, James Sott, by the way, tweets, he said they closed the roof midway through the first set. Iga was up 5-2, pardon me, in that set, ending up winning 7-5. Disclosing a roof help Keys. You heard what Zach just said. It's also not an excuse to lose the match, though, right? By the way, Rat City Titans insider was very upset with our Billy Levi's hate, or Will Levis hate. He says, I'll take the under 2.5 slams for Iga, excluding Roland Garros, for the rest of her career. I'm like, okay, you take the under. We'll see what happens. By the way, I'll take the under on the Titans, just whatever the line is. All right, do you have anything? You're gonna play a little Keys. Do you have anything in the men's semis?
Yes. So in the Shelton Sinner match, I'm going over 0.5 tiebreakers, which I got at -138. Shelton has played at least one tiebreaker in his last 13 matches. He's played Sinner 5 times. All of those 5 matches have had at least one tiebreaker. I think that his style of play, just being, you know, an elite server and a really bad returner, just makes very likely that we will see at least a tiebreaker. And that was ultimately where I landed with that match, because of the nature of there being a tiebreaker or potentially being a tiebreaker, it's hard to play Sinner straight sets, and it's also hard to take Shelton, you know, to win a set, just because those could go either way once you get there. But I do feel pretty good about there being at least one.
I like that. Ben Shelton, good to get to a tiebreaker for sure. Nothing with Novak or Zverev?
So I have a Novak future from the start of this tournament. I remember telling you I did not feel good about that once I saw the draw, but now all of a sudden it's definitely feeling very, very live. So I'm not going to be touching that match myself. If I were betting that match, I would be going with Zverev at the plus money odds. I just think that The Novak injury was legitimate. He looked really, really bad in that second set. And until those painkillers kicked in, he was not moving well. I think that a lot of people really wanted to crown that match as an epic. It was a pretty bad match. Alcaraz played horribly and really fell apart between the ears. I think that Djokovic was injured, so he was swinging for winners every time he had to. I think Alcaraz kind of got sucked into doing the same because he didn't know what to do playing against an injured opponent. So I think that that was a really bad performance from Alcaraz. I think Zverev's going to be a little bit more likely to grind from the baseline and kind of like test those Djokovic legs out.
The Djokovic injury, though, I saw the best meme that describes this. You see the original Willy Wonka, where Gene Wilder looks like he's like sort of limping or whatever, and then he does the somersault, and all of a sudden he's dancing again. That's Djokovic. It's like, really, are you hurt? Yeah.
I also saw the Call the Cops, but not for me.
Yeah. That's right.
He does get better once he's hurt, especially historically at this tournament. I just think that he said it in his press conference after the match that, you know, it takes the pressure off you and just kind of gives you a focus of what you need to do. And that's just hit big and hit your targets.
All right. What about the championship games in the NFL? Any plays on those two?
Yeah, so I see it's moving against me. I do like the Commanders with the points, whether that's 6.5 or 6. Honestly, I would have played it at 4. I was very unimpressed with what we saw from Jalen Hurts last game, and I just can't really shake the feeling that, you know, the Commanders have the much better quarterback, the more aggressive head coach, and I know a lot of people really like this Philadelphia defense, and they have been very good at times throughout this season, but I just don't really trust Vic Fangio against a team that can throw the way that the Commanders can. I really like Daniels to go over his player prop of 222.5 passing yards. I put that on the website in my write-up for the game, and yeah, I think that the Commanders are really live in this game. I took the spread. I also sprinkled the money line.
Okay. And then in the AFC, anything?
Haven't played it yet. I do think I'm going to end up on the Bills. I hate myself. I say I'm going to hate myself, and I say I'm going to, you know, back Kansas City when it comes time for the playoffs, and I still don't do it. But I just feel like this Chiefs team, for the better part of 2 years now, has been a team that scores 19 to like 23 points every game. And I think that this Bills team is capable of scoring a lot more than that. So I think that we are going to see Buffalo finally knock out Kansas City. I think that Josh Allen has played very well in this, you know, series in the past, especially in the playoffs. I think he's just had, you know, defensive shortcomings. And I think that he's finally has a group that could slow down a Kansas City team that I think is, you know, mediocre offensively.
NBA tonight, anything?
So far, I just have the Lakers. Lakers +5. I'll also be sprinkling the money line. It's just a really bad spot for Boston. They played a really close game against the Clippers last night. Went to overtime against, you know, a really shorthanded squad. I think they're going to be very, very tired for this game. And I'm also playing Wemby over 4.5 blocks and steals in this game in Paris.
Ooh, okay. Wemby over 4.5 blocks in Paris from Zach Cohen. Zach, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
At Betting on X for Zach on Twitter, by the way. Hypothetical Super Bowl lines, exact as in the NFL. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're getting ready for big game 59. El Partido Grande 59. With a big deal to match, save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code ANG. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long with full access to our daily best bets, that is. Exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. 24/7 video access to tune in anywhere on the VSiN Watch app. Plus all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on this big game deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
As in a numbers game.
To save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today, that's VSIN.com/subscribe. I remember you being more creative on the ANG stuff before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to make up other examples.
Yeah,
but
mailing it in. I understand. You'll get there. We get tweets at
You'll
the book. Cowboy 7, was this? DC Cowboy. No, D Cowboy 777. At RDW says they announced the award Super Bowl week because everyone's there for the game and they get the NFL Honors TV show out of it. Well, no, not everybody's there of the finalists, right? Not everybody. If they can lure them, yeah, you're right. But that wasn't my point. My point, RDW, was there's nothing going on the week after this one, right? The 2 weeks are interminable. So to get to that second week, it just seems like an eternity. It would be great if they did sort of the opposite of baseball and moved it up. Just my 2 cents. Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. Yo, dog. While commoting this AM, I also was thinking about and missing the WTF Skins moniker. the WTF Skins moniker. I also love that Kelly will be furious at any result of comeback player vote result. Angry CCKMB is the best, Jerry. The best.
It's infuriating. The because if Joe Burrow wins, I'm going to be mad I didn't bet more money.
K. Michael Bidlin. What's the CC part?
I don't know.
Is that part of the Seinfeld reference there? As a K. Michael Bidlin is the KMB. Let's go through some of those other. Well, first of all, let's read this. This doesn't clarify. I thought this was going to clarify it, but it doesn't.
Yeah, what does the CC mean? I don't know what that means.
Finalists were determined through the AP's voting system.
So, yeah.
Okay, so it is votes. So it is based on votes. At least that's what they're telling us. We'll find out. They can't hide that because they do reveal what the votes were. So that's the case. Finalists were determined through the AP's voting system, which was revamped in 2022 and asked voters to rank their top five picks for MVP and their top three for other awards. Except we now know that this top five for all the other awards.
I was kind of hoping you didn't read the rest of that part because,
the winners will be announced at the 14th annual NFL Honors Ceremony on February 6th. Which will air live at 9 p.m. Eastern on Fox and NFL Network and stream on NFL Plus. So February 6th, so 3 days before the Super Bowl. So Thursday night, February 6th.
I thought we had finally figured out that it was five now for every award, but...
It's a moving target.
Even the NFL on their own website is writing that.
Go through some of these. Who were the five MVP?
Finalists. I'm going to start with Coach of the Year. Okay. I'll work my way down. Dan Campbell... Kevin O'Connell, Sean Payton, Dan Quinn, Andy Reid are your coach of the year.
Andy Reid got in there. I like that.
Yep. Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Who didn't get in there? Mike Tomlin didn't get in there. Well, he had a bad
finish.
He had a bad finish. I think those were the right ones.
I mean, we said there was like eight guys that could qualify. So that might be the one award where you feel like one or two people got left out. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Cooper DeJean, Brandon Fisk, Quinyon Mitchell, Chop Robinson, Jared Verse.
Makes sense.
Offensive Rookie of the Year, Brock Bowers, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Bo Nix, Brian Thomas Jr.
Wonder who wins that one.
Offensive Player of the Year, Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. So you do have two quarterbacks in there.
Okay.
Defensive Player of the Year, Zach Bond, which is kind of interesting. Miles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, Patrick Surtain, and TJ Watt.
Zach Bond deserves that.
So... Ginkle did not get in, which was two of us picked them for our award show.
Who didn't get in?
Van Ginkle from the Vikings.
Who picked Van Ginkle?
Myself and somebody else. I want to say Chris Felica.
Okay.
Comeback Player of the Year. We already hit on that one. Burrow, Darnold, Dobbins, Christian Gonzalez, DeMar Hamlin. And then MVP, Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson.
Jared Goff is the fifth. I was wondering who's going to be the fifth.
Yeah.
Okay. Nemesis Enforcer tells us CC got to be Country Club. So does Hoops by Hoots.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Hoops by Hoots says, I think CC is Country Clubbing. Okay, exactas. Four teams left, obviously, and there's eight different combinations of who can beat who in the Super Bowl. Shall we look at the hypothetical lines first on these before we get to the exactas? So the hypothetical lines, these are courtesy of?
FanDuel.
FanDuel. Advocate Skirmish, as we used to call them. Chiefs to beat the Eagles, plus 330. Bills to beat the Eagles, plus 380. Eagles to beat the Chiefs, 4-1. Eagles to beat the Bills, plus 450. Now we get to the Commanders portion of the segment. Chiefs to beat Commanders, plus 950. Bills to beat Commanders, 10-1. Commanders to beat Chiefs, 15-1. Commanders to beat Bills, 17-1. Those are the exactas. So we started with the exactas.
Yes, exactas. You want to go on hypothetical lines now?
Well, yeah, let's do the hypothetical lines. Let's get back to these exactas. The hypothetical lines are both the Bills and the Chiefs would be favored by 4.5 over the Commodores. Okay. The Eagles would be favored over the Bills and the Chiefs each by 1.5. All right. What about the AFC over the NFC? Do we have those?
This is all the Super Bowl. This is the possible matchups.
Oh, those are the matchups. Those are the matchups. Oh, right. I'm sorry. Those are the matchups. I'm getting confused now myself. Okay. Yeah, those are all the matchups.
I put all the favorites on the right. So Bills, Chiefs, 1.5-point favorites over the Eagles.
All right. So we botched all that, or at least we went out of order. But here's the thing. So those are all the hypothetical Super Bowl lines. Those are courtesy of FanDuel. You can, you may disagree with them, but those are what they are. Anyway, to review, Bills and Chiefs, 4.5-point favorites, both over the Commanders, if that ends up being the matchups. Eagles would be 1.5 point dogs, pardon me, versus both the Bills and the Chiefs. Okay. So then we go back to the exactas. And the object here, let's just do mathematically, back to the exactas. Would you want to bet, given those lines, right? Given those lines, we can convert those. There's a little bit of math here, but not much. We can convert those spreads into money lines, right? You do a little money line conversion on the hypotheticals. You already know what the money lines are for this weekend. And so essentially for the exactas, what you're doing is hitting a three-team parlay. You're hitting a three-leg parlay. You're obviously getting the NFC Championship and AFC Championship winners and the Super Bowl winner. Three-leg money line parlay. And so, Kelly, based on these, let's just, if I can just do it just from the mathematical sense, then we'll just get your opinion on these. But right now, the let's start from the top. Chiefs to beat Eagles plus 330. That ought to be just the true value based on those hypotheticals is about 340. So you're just getting dinged a little bit on that one. The Bills to beat the Eagles at plus 380, that ought to be 393. Plus 393.
You're saying in comparison to like a money line rollover situation?
I'm saying what the true math ought to be by the money lines, by a money line parlay, the true math, right? Chiefs to beat Eagles, you're getting plus 330. They're just docking you a small amount. It should be plus 341. Bills to beat Eagles, you're getting plus 380. It should be plus 393. Now, Eagles to beat Chiefs, which is 4-1, you're actually getting a little value on that. Because by my math and the hypothetical lines, that ought to be about plus 393. So Eagles to beat Chiefs, just put sort of like a mental check mark in your mind by that one.
And I've got a note about this as well, too, afterward.
Eagles to beat Bills is almost exactly what it should be. It's plus 450. It's really plus 449. So that's kind of right on the number. You're not really getting value. These next two are where the value is, mathematically. The Commanders' losses. Chiefs to beat Commanders, you're getting plus 950. Bills to beat Commanders, you're getting 10-1. I have them priced at, those should be plus 808 and plus 913. So at plus 950 and 10-1, those actually represent a little bit of value at those prices and based on the hypothetical lines. Again, I'm just doing it by the hypothetical lines. Commanders to beat Chiefs, Commanders to beat Bills, you're actually getting a little bit of the worst of that. As you would expect, instead of 15-1, that's actually like kind of 16.64-1. And instead of the 17-1 on Commanders to Bills, it's actually 18.68-1. So the value is really on the two to beat the Commanders Super Bowl exactas based on that.
I like it. That's a great breakdown. That's the way you should be looking at these things. I was interested that the Eagles one you mentioned right away, because John Brown, who does great work here at the network behind the scenes, he texted me about this yesterday, just looking at what the circa exacted numbers were. Yep. And it was just a shop within the same shop situation, right? Super Bowl odds are up there, and then exactas are up there. And we're down to the point of the season where you've got two games this weekend, right? And then we're at the Super Bowl already. So it's just two wins.
But keep in mind, and here's the thing. Obviously, the way that these games go will affect what those hypothetical lines end up being.
Absolutely.
So I'm just doing that exercise based on what those static hypothetical Super Bowl lines are.
Which is the best you can do right now. But yeah, absolutely, that stuff will move.
Yeah.
But his point was, okay, if you take Eagles to beat the Bills and Eagles to beat the Chiefs, at least at circa and at DraftKings, you'd get a better number than what the Eagles are listed just to win the Super Bowl right now.
This is the thing. All of this is shop from book to book, shop within books. Both of those things are valid. But anyway, that's just a little brief look at the math on those Super Bowl exactas, at least at FanDuel. Joe Pita on the Eagles and Skins next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Horse racing action is heating up in South Florida with a $3 million Pegasus World Cup. That's Saturday, January 25th, 2 days from now. And our friends over at FirstBet have you covered with everything you need to hit big. Sign up for a new FirstBet account using promo code VSIN200 to claim a $200 sign-up bonus, plus download their free Pegasus World Cup wager guide and get up to $10 back when your horse finishes second or third in the biggest races at Gulfstream Park. Head over to FirstBet.com. That's 1STBET.com and use promo code VSIN200. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, right here in downtown Las Vegas. Shooter McGamblin on Twitter. Are there any books that offer a yes-no on will there be a roughing the passer penalty in the Bills-Chiefs game? That is typically reserved for the Super Bowl, but I would shop around. He continues, or is that only a Super Bowl prop? There you go. Sorry about that, Shooter. I preempted you. Nothing on DK says, I don't mind a bet on the refs making an overcorrection. Yeah, that's always a Super Bowl one, right, of the hundreds of Super Bowl props. I thought we sort of started to bleed into championship games.
I was going to say, there's hundreds up for the championship game, but if he said he checked all of DraftKings and it's not up, then I would tend to believe it's probably not one up at most spots.
Buddhist Man offering also, don't forget when calculating Super Bowl exact is that there is usually more value on the favorite to win outright as the tourists come in and deflate the underdog money line price. Actually, Buddhist, it's the other way around. What they do for the Super Bowl, we talk about this every year, for whatever reason, bettors tend, during the regular season, they bet dogs plus the points. But in the Super Bowl, they usually go dog on the money line. And what it does is mute the favorite money line price for the Super Bowl. So it's a different thing, actually, during the Super Bowl. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a little something different that we're doing right now, but basically it's testing one's friendship. Joe Pita, who is the author of the book Trading Bases and the Masters 2019 Tour Guide, where he looked at both modeling baseball in the former and talking about Masters data from Augusta, proprietary Masters data back in 2019. We know him as that kind of guy. He also in real life is a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and you may know this about me. I'm kind of in the tank for Washington. So we test our friendship with a look down memory lane. It's Joe Pita, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can find him on Twitter at MagicRatSF. Joe?
Gil, thank you for coming. It's a pleasure to be here and to be civil because, as I said Monday, I thought our friendship would take a hiatus this week.
That's right. All right. Well, we actually took sort of pleasure in this exercise. What would you like to say as a macro statement on this?
Yeah, first of all, I think we should find common ground. You know, we're going to talk about sort of the history, the interaction here a little bit. And, you know, as an olive branch, I want to say that I've always respected your music knowledge. You have obviously that's part of your background. So I think we can definitely just agree and find some common ground that Fly Eagles Fly is a far superior fight song to Hail to the Redskins.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And if we'll start there.
No. No,
we
can't
Hail?
Even.
Who uses that? That's like from the Taft administration.
We can't even agree on that.
Wait, do I get to play referee here?
What's that?
Do I get to play referee here?
Yes, please.
Fly Eagles Fly, for sure.
On the Megapod.
Thank you.
On the Megapod, everyone was saying, oh, Hail to the Redskins by far is the better song. So I disagree. Disagree.
You know, if you ask any kindergarten teacher in the tri-state area, Philly, Delaware, New Jersey, they will tell you they barely have to teach those kids to read or spell because E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles, they know that from being a toddler. It's a civic duty. We're going to have to disagree on that.
Disagree. Then. Some of your politicians can't spell that so well, by the way, I saw on the old
I did
social
that was,
media.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to do... So we can't have any common ground, by the way. Do you want to do you want to do this 4-3-2-1, your favorite games of all time? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll hear yours. I know there'll be some overlap and I'll really just do the most commentary on this first one. Because I really want to see if you remember this. It's not, you know, it doesn't have a nickname, although I call it the false sanction. September 17th, 1989. To set the table there, it was week two of the NFL season. The Eagles were improbably the NFC East defending champs from 1988.
I remember. Yeah,
they backed into it a little bit. They beat the Giants. And the Giants and the Skins had been back-to-back Super Bowl champions going into 89. And in 89, the Eagles dethroned the Giants, but it was a fluke. They returned a blocked field goal for a touchdown, their own, mind you. And then the next week, the Giants lost as 10-point favorites in the Meadowlands to the Jets, and the Eagles kind of backed in. And that stupid fog bowl, we never really found out if the Eagles could have done something that year because of the fog bowl. So 1989 is kind of a prove-it year. And the second game of the season, they go into RFK, which had been a house of horrors for two decades. And I was at that game, and it's the best game I've ever been to. The Redskins went up 20-0. The Eagles ended up winning, I think, 42-37. Randall had five touchdowns, ran for a sixth. And it was just an incredible game. And I walked out of that stadium that day thinking the Eagles are now the best team in the NFC East. And that means outside the 49ers, they're the best team in football. And if you told me that day that the NFC East was going to win the next four Super Bowls in the four preceding seasons, I would have said, yeah, that checks. And I'll bet you the Eagles have two or three of them. And of course, yeah, that wasn't the case. But I don't know if you remember that game, but it was an incredible game. Randall, you know, we had Randall, you know, Keith Jackson, Chris Carter, Mike Quick, Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Eric Allen, like there were all pros all over the field. And that it was the false ascension because I thought they'd taken the throw. Then the next ones, honestly, I feel like you're going to know those, whether it's the, you know, the Monday Night Massacre, which the reason I think that's important is that was started with the McNabb fleecing. The Eagles, fleeced the Redskins into taking McNabb, giving up a high draft choice. They did choose Kevin Kolb with that draft choice. He was the starting quarterback, but quickly everybody knew the better quarterback was on the bench, and that led to the Michael Vick and the Monday Night Massacre. And then the two most pivotal games, of course, are the body bag game, and then number one has to be Gibbs' revenge. It's painful, but that I know you'll want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, my four are number four, November 14th, 2022, when the 8-0 Philadelphia Eagles were 10.5-point favorites against the 4-5 Skins quarterbacked by Taylor Heinicke. And Washington wins it because the incomparable Terry McLaurin, 8 catches for 128. And the Commanders, or at the time, the woofed Twitter account said, quote, "We had a marvelous time ruining everything for them." That's number four. Number three, September 12, 1982, the very first game of the 1982 season, it was the beginning of the Gibbs dynasty. Washington overcomes a 17-point deficit. Washington wins it in overtime, 37-34. Theismann throws for 382. Charlie Brown catches a 78-yard touchdown pass. I scream at the top of my lungs, and my dad gets mad at me for making so much noise. That was the one that began the Gibbs dynasty at the beginning of the 1982 season. Skins go on to win the Super Bowl. Number two is this year, December 22nd, 2024. The big comeback for Jaden Daniels, 36-33 win for the Commodores, where Frankie Louvu knocks out Jalen Hurts. I love how Eagles fans want to talk about a body bag game, but then when it comes to Jalen Hurts getting knocked out, it's like, oh, is Kenny Pickett playing? Yeah, I love that kind of thing, Joe. And then number one, of course, is Gibbs' revenge, as you said. They followed a game that is known as the body bag game, where a lot of Washington players got injured during the regular season. In the game against Philadelphia, Philly couldn't stop talking about it. They thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And in the only playoff appearance or the only playoff matchup that these two franchises in their storied history have ever had in the Super Bowl era, this is after the 1990 season, Gibbs and Washington go into Philly and crush the Eagles 20-6. And Joe Gibbs at the end, after the whole body bag thing, says to every skin who walks into the locker room, "Win with class," because he loved beating Buddy Ryan's butt every time. So that was, of course, the last Washington win until the following year, where the 1991 Washington Redskins became the greatest team of all time. There it is. This is the second playoff matchup, Joe.
That is astounding.
Yeah.
Yeah, as we were texting this week, they are never good at the same time.
Never.
And the only period was that small period of the Ryan Gibbs years. And the thing about that 91, January 91, 1990 playoff or 1990 season playoff game was, as I recall, and I lived in Washington at the time, Gibbs has never wanted to, he took that game so personally.
Oh, yes,
he never wanted to win a game more. And the body bag game, and this could be a bad omen for you, just like the last NFC championship game the Eagles were in with the rookie quarterback 2 years ago, by the end of the game, there was a running back that was actually I think Mitchell finished that game as the Redskins quarterback. That is how many body bags.
That's
were
right. Brian Mitchell. Brian Mitchell finished
right.
His quarterback. Eagles
and
minus
Gibbs
six.
Took it so personally.
He did. Eagles minus six. You laying the points, Joe?
I am, Gil. I think I'm sticking with the rookies. It's not Jaden's time yet. As great as he is, it's not his time this year. So I'm sticking with the Eagles.
Joe, I still love you. Thanks for the trip down memory lane.
Hey, buddy.
Joe Pita, everybody, at Magic Rat SF, formerly with ESPN Chalk, by the way, back in the day as well. Crackman Unscripted on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.